Hi, I'm Elliot Rifkin of 4ZZZ Radio, and today we're going to discuss geothermal energy. We all want environmental-friendly energy. What environmental impacts are currently being considered in the decision-making process in choosing the various types of renewable energies? I'm speaking with Dr. Alex Atrins, a research fellow at the Queensland Geothermal Energy Center of Excellence at UQ, about just that.
Geothermal energy is thermal or heat energy contained in the earth, generally in the top few kilometers or so of the Earth's crust. It's been used to generate electricity for over 100 years. The first commercial power plant was built at Laterello in Italy in 1911. Geothermal power plants work by extracting hot water or steam from underground through a field of connected wells. That hot geothermal fluid is then used to supply heat to a steam power cycle to turn a turbine, and it could also be used for direct heating, such as for buildings or greenhouses.
What percentage of Australia's fuel usage comes from geothermal energy?
It's not used very widely in Australia at the moment, but worldwide, geothermal provides the equivalent of 37% of Australia's annual electricity use. In Australia, it's pretty much limited to supplying electricity to Birdsville, which is a small town in the very southwestern corner of Queensland.
That's the only place in Australia, Birdsville.
In terms of actual supply to people using electricity, that's the only place. There's some plans to build another power plant in Winton, which I'll talk about a bit later with you. And there was also a power plant that was built right in the middle of Australia that isn't being used to supply electricity to anyone at the moment, as far as I know.
In Birdsville, are there geysers there, or is it coming from magma, or how is that extracted?
In Birdsville, the heat's coming from hot water from aquifers in the Great Artesian Basin. In general, there's a bit of a continuum of different geothermal energy. I guess you could categorize things as two types. So there's areas that are volcanically or tectonically active, so local hotspots or boundaries between the tectonic plates and the Earth's crust. And in those areas, the Earth's crust is a bit thinner, magma's closer to the surface, and that's where you see some of those things that are evidence of hot fluid near the surface. So the things that you're thinking of, like volcanoes, geysers, hot springs, hot mud, those are present in places like Iceland or California, New Zealand or Japan. And in those areas, it's really easy to develop geothermal energy, and most of those places use quite a bit of geothermal energy. Other places around the world, you need to go a bit deeper to get to high temperatures. In those other places, such as Australia, we really either have the option of going deep and hot or a bit shallower and only to sort of moderate low temperatures. We've tried both of those approaches in Australia. There were some attempts to go deep and hot right in the middle. The companies that did that were technically successful, but they found that it was really hard to get that electricity to anyone because the best locations are not where the power is needed. Currently, there are some more interests in the sort of shallow and warm approach. That's what's being used in Birdsville and has been for, I think we're getting close to two decades now, although I'm not actually sure about the timeline of that power plant. That's also the plan for a new power plant to be built in Winton that will be using water that's around 90 degrees Celsius coming out of the Great Artesian Basin.
What are the environmental impacts? Are there any?
Generally, it's fairly benign in most modern implementations, but there have been three main things that people are concerned about environmentally with geothermal. There's potential for dissolved minerals and gases in the fluids. There's potential subsidence, which is downward settling of the ground if you reduce the underground fluid pressures too much. And there's, of course, potential for small earthquakes. Normally, these aren't major concerns in most geothermal implementations, but perhaps we could have a bit of a chat about each of them. Typically, geothermal fluid, so steam or water from underground, is pretty benign in terms of dissolved minerals. Normally, it's a bit of salt, maybe some silica. But sometimes you can get some gas in there, so typically carbon dioxide. Sometimes you can also get methane or hydrogen sulfide or a little bit of ammonia, and those are not such nice things to be producing. And in terms of dissolved minerals, sometimes there's trace amounts of mercury and arsenic, which are also not so nice. And those make the fluid unsuitable for discharge. And so what most modern plants do is they re-inject any fluid that's been produced. There are a couple of exceptions, mainly when the water or steam coming out of the ground is clean and it's being used for something else like drinking water. Normally, the design is to re-inject fluid back underground. That has a side benefit of keeping the underground pressures stable, and that means that you don't need to worry about subsidence. Part of the problem, or the reason people think about subsidence, is that's what happens if you do just continue to produce fluid out of an underground reservoir for decades. You can reduce the pressure, reduce the water levels, and lead to the ground level decreasing a bit. Even in geothermal plants where they do want to use the water that's extracted for something, and that's the case in California where they don't reinject all of the water that's produced for geothermal, they'll tend to nonetheless inject some water into the reservoir to keep pressures stable, mainly because that also helps in maintaining geothermal flows.
When you're saying settling, is that the same as sinkholes?
Well, that's one of the things that can happen. So if you have really bad subsidence, you can get a sinkhole forming. Typically, the sort of thing that has happened from geothermal extraction is a bit more modest. So this is maybe changes in the ground height of a meter or a couple of meters. Clearly, that's still a really big concern if you're trying to build structures in the area where you expect that to happen. And so that's why normally modern geothermal plants will either have reinjection of the fluid that is extracted or injection of other fluids to maintain those pressures.
The infrastructure that's built around this, is it special metals that won't melt or it doesn't get as hot as that?
That's quite an interesting question, actually. Normally, geothermal plants are built for fairly modest temperatures. So typically, the geothermal fluids are maybe 1 to 300 degrees Celsius. There are some interesting proposals and research projects trying to get to higher temperatures. They get into quite a bit of difficulty with the materials not lasting at those temperatures. So in Iceland, there was one experimental drilling program where they were trying to drill quite deep. And what they were finding was that the steel for the drill bits was just softening and falling apart while they were trying to drill. And so they were limited as to how deep they could go. We're generally going for much more modest temperatures, largely because that's good enough to get good power generation.
You did mention some dissolved minerals. I'm aware of volcanoes in Hawaii, and I think they throw off a little bit of sulfur, sulfuric type of minerals. Is there any, let's say, you know, countries that are using this that are getting that kind of like toxic waste?
In general, modern plants will try to reinject the fluid precisely to avoid those sorts of concerns. Some of the older plants didn't do that, and there were concerns about having gas released from the geothermal plants. In some instances, I think this was justified where they already knew that that gas was actually just coming up through the surface through fumaroles and hot springs anyway. And so they could say, well, the geothermal activity actually isn't changing the gas balance. In general, they try to avoid that by just reinjecting.
Can geothermal energy cause earthquakes?
This is one of the potential environmental concerns. And whenever you're doing anything underground, there's a concern about affecting earthquakes. And that's a particular issue considering that some geothermal plants are in areas that are highly tectonically active or that have active volcanism and so on. And so when geothermal wells are drilled and when fluid flow is tested, normally we use networks of geophones to monitor for any seismic, any earthquake activity. Geothermal developers have been particularly cautious about earthquakes for exactly these reasons. A good kind of example of the caution that's involved is a geothermal project in Basel in Switzerland that was cancelled because while developing the project, they measured small earthquakes of magnitude 3.2 on the Richter scale. And just to put things into perspective, that's probably just strong enough to feel the vibrations on the surface and about 100 times lower than when you have any damage to buildings. This is the sort of way in which geothermal approaches that, where it's very cautious. We don't want to build geothermal power plants if they're going to cause earthquakes. So we monitor things quite closely to make sure that if there's any seismic disturbances, work stop and things are thought about carefully before proceeding.
You mentioned that some of the infrastructures include steam turbines. Are these with rare earth elements in them and do they make noise?
I assume you're asking about that because of rare earth elements being used in some of the other power generation and renewable energy systems.
Yes.
So mostly the steam turbine materials are fairly standard steel. So the same sort of steam turbines that you find in any thermal power plants, so mostly fossil fuel type power plants. I'm not sure about the specific compositions. They're pretty common industrial metals rather than anything fancy. Typically, they'll be based around iron and then maybe with some chromium, nickel and vanadium. So nothing that's, I guess, reliant on China's rare earth element market. The turbines, their machinery, they're certainly not quiet if you're standing right next to them. They're also localized. If you have a geothermal power plant, you have one or two or maybe three turbines that are inside a building, you probably wouldn't actually know from outside the building that they're running. I guess something to put it into a Queensland context, they're probably no louder than, say, the gas compressors that are at the Forex Brewery in Milton, which you can't hear from immediately outside either.
So they wouldn't have any impact on any animal species then?
The noise, I wouldn't imagine having a major concern. Geothermal is fairly nice in that it's quite contained. There are wells, there are pipes connecting the wells to the power plant, and there's a power plant which is contained inside a building. And so you've got both a fairly good way of containing the impacts to precisely controlled locations, and it's fairly minimal in land footprint as well. So you don't need really, really large areas to build these sorts of power plants, which is good in terms of minimizing impacts on animal and plant species.
All in all, it seems that this type of renewable energy doesn't really have too many downsides other than it has to exist someplace naturally.
Probably the biggest challenge, particularly for Australia, is that we don't have these best-in-the-world type geothermal resources present in volcanic and tectonic hotspots. The places where they do have those resources, they have a very easy time developing geothermal, and they have, I would say, fairly minimal environmental impacts from it. What we're really excited about in Australia is trying to develop these slightly more difficult geothermal resources, which probably will end up costing a little bit more than the geothermal that you'd see in New Zealand or Iceland. We're hopeful that we can provide useful energy from those resources.
Without getting deeply into specifics, is there any legislation in place by the government that you're required when you build a plant in terms of having an environmental impact study?
I know at least Queensland passed a Geothermal Energy Act in 2010, and I think South Australia passed a similar act a few years earlier. Those acts cover a range of things. I'm pretty sure a lot of it is about the permitting and planning programs for geothermal development. I have to admit I'm not precisely sure about the requirements for environmental impact studies and similar. They're publicly available legislation. What I've heard from the industry is that they're pretty rigorous in their requirements for what needs to be spelled out by companies when they plan to drill geothermal wells.
And lastly, where are we with geothermal energy in terms of the future development of it?
One of the things that's particularly good about geothermal energy is that it can provide dispatchable and baseload electricity. And so what I mean by that is that you can supply power whenever you need it. And generally, geothermal is about 95% reliable, and that's probably better than any other electricity source that we normally have. So that's better than most fossil fuel power stations. And that's really helpful when managing an electricity grid. What that means is that geothermal energy is a particularly good renewable energy to have as part of a mix of electricity supply. In particular, we think that's promising for regional and rural areas in Queensland. I mentioned that there's plans to build a geothermal power station in Winton. I think a lot of people will be watching that quite closely and thinking about how that might be replicated in other places around Queensland to leverage off the dispatchability and baseload electricity that geothermal can provide. The other thing that I did just want to mention in passing are ground source heat pumps. They're only tangentially related to geothermal energy. What they're built to do is make use of the fact that the ground in the top 100 meters or so of the Earth's surface is generally pretty stable in temperature, and that's a nice opportunity to use for cooling buildings in summer and heating them up in winter. And so a ground source heat pump is a system that's basically an air conditioning system linked to the ground instead of the outside air. What that provides is higher performance in terms of an air conditioning or reverse cycle air conditioning system. They've been really effective in Europe, but we haven't really seen very much use of them in Australia. And our research centre has just built a couple of these systems out at UQ's Gatton campus. They're there to cool the library and also for us to evaluate how the systems actually perform in a Queensland environment. I'm pretty excited about them. Considering current electricity prices, it'll be really interesting to see how those end up performing.